Oh, how he loves us, yes? Oh. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm so excited to kick off this morning to you. And first of all, I just want everybody to give yourselves a big old round of applause because you are here and he is meeting us here this weekend. And I know that we're all women and we kind of went over the woods and through the forest to get here, right? And so I just want you to prepare your hearts for the message that the Lord has for us this weekend. And I know I'm a newbie, so I know there's probably things I'm not supposed to say, but it's kind of too late because I have the mic. And I know there has been women in this room and gentlemen that have tirelessly worked to position us in the throne room, yes? Give it up for your Calvary Women's Ministry. How many of you love your precious journals? I was so excited about a journal I'll probably never write in, but I was so excited to have it. I'm like, it's a memory. Now the coffee cup I will use. The journal I'll position. And then last night as we opened and the veil dropped. Anyone? Woo! Got some good stuff right there. And then to unveil the throne. And as beautiful as this throne is, Noreen, I don't know how she does it. She found this throne. Isn't that beautiful? I'm like, I want it. I actually went over and I said, so you know how you sell things at the end? Like, I kind of want that. You know, every girl needs to be a princess. And so I thought that would be perfect right there in the middle of the family room so everyone in the house knows. But it's not for sale, sorry. But I looked at that and I thought, as magnificent as that throne is, it pales. It can't even begin to foreshadow the throne. And as that veil dropped last night, I was so struck by, you know, when the veil dropped, the earth shook. And our lives are forever changed because of the access that we have to God Almighty. And as we come in this weekend, prepared hearts, you know, sometimes we spend so much time and effort getting here, yes? Arranging of everything. I know there's men in the room, but let's just be clear. We arrange everything to get here, yes? And then we forget to prepare our hearts. So let's just pray and prepare our hearts this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we welcome you into this room. And most importantly, we ask that you have a movement this weekend, Lord. We come before you and we lay whatever it is that we have, Lord, the faith the size of a mustard seed, the hope that is in your Son, the plan that you are working for good in our life. We lay it all at that foot of the cross, knowing that God Almighty, who created us, that knows every hair on our head, is also our Abba Father, is our Daddy. And that you have begun a good work in every single woman that made it here this weekend. And we know, because your word tells us, you will be faithful to bring it to completion. So fill our hearts and our minds this morning of you. Will you go before us? And will you light the way? We thank you for your word that's alive and it's active and it penetrates our hearts. And for your Holy Spirit that rests on us. And the Son that you sent that gave the ultimate sacrifice so that veil could be torn and we could have immediate access to you. We welcome you here in the precious name of Jesus. I pray. Amen. All right, so something really special happens when women come together. Don't you just love to hear praise when it's all female voices? I know, and I'm sitting with worship people, so that's a little throws me. So I try to like calm it down a little bit because I can throw a whole pew at church, so... But it's a joyful noise. But there's something about women gathering together to love our Lord together. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. And I want to share with you, I shared with the leaders yesterday how amazing our God is, right? He is in the details. Say details. He is in the details of our life. And on September the 8th, 2007, I sat in that seat right there. And we had a speaker. That is, you guys, that is 11 years ago today that I'm now talking. Right? Woo! The Lord is in the details. But a message went out, and I will tell you that I lost a four-year-old daughter in a car accident. And the Lord had been massaging a message. When I sat there in 2007, September the 8th, 2007, I was 15 years into my loss of my daughter. It had been a while. And yet I was still in excruciating pain. And the Lord, the message that went out was the message when Jesus was talking to Lazarus. And he told Lazarus to come out. So number one, he commanded him. And number two, he told him to take off his death clothes and to come out. And I sat there in that seat. So this table's positioned well. I sat there in that seat. And the Lord told me, Tracy, it is time to take the death clothes off and to come out. So each one of us have something that we have been carrying, that it is time this weekend to leave that here, where the greatest work can be done. And like Kristen, the email you sent this morning about death clothes off and the armor of God on. There is power in the transformation that God does in our life. I also just want to tell you a few things before I get into the text. Number one, when we talk about prayer, I love to pray. And I'm probably I probably do all those things in that video. I'm like, it's so funny. Whoa. Like, was I not supposed to do that? Or was that a how-to video? I don't know. Take it how you'd like. But all I know is I've been on a prayer team for 13 years where there's women that gather around the nation and we get on conference call every Thursday morning for 13 years. We've prayed. One of my prayer buddies is in the room. And we can get anxious on our prayer requests. Yes? Like, what are we praying about? Well, let's this, that, the other thing, right? We go through the prayer list. I can feel my anxiety rising. Is anyone with me? And then the minute that we stop, and sometimes I'm just like, stop. God knows what they are. And we press into that throne room. Immediately, there is refreshment in the Lord. Yes? As soon as we just stop. Also, prayer for me is an all-day thing. I mean, you probably find it unusual that I talk to myself all day long, but what's crazy is I usually answer. But I do the same thing all day long with the Lord. When I realized that prayer wasn't this formality, but it was an intimacy, that all the time I like bump into God, like all the time, like, oh, I see you again. Like, he's always showing up. But I think sometimes raising our awareness to the point that we know God is always there. And sometimes we're so consumed with what we're walking through that we forget that he's the lifter of our head and that we have an opportunity to bump into him throughout the entire day. So prayer is really a positioning to see the Lord all day long. And the other thing is I love to pray the word back to him. Memorization of prayer has never been easy for me. Anyone? It's just, and then I love it when people go in verse, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I can mouth it with them. And I might be able to discern if it's Old Testament or New Testament-ish. I listened to these ladies teach, and last night I went back, and I'm like, oh, I think I can quit still. You know, I'm not just like, they're, I was like, maybe I can back out. But the word is a fragrant aroma back to the author. And when we just crack that open, if for nothing else, we just pray his word back to him. The word is alive and it is active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And sometimes I just need the word out loud in my prayer closet. Yes? Pray the word back to him. And then the last thing before I jump into the content is, do you guys remember in like grade school? I don't know if they still do this, but there was a saying that you stop, drop, and roll if you caught on fire. just prevent the fire? Like, I remember being a child going, okay, so if I catch on fire, I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop, and I'm going to roll. I'm thinking, heck no, I'm running. I'm like, stop, drop, and roll. But the truth is, when it comes to prayer, we have to really remember what we learned in preschool. Stop, drop, and pray. Stop, drop, and pray. Like when you're feeling it, just stop, drop, and pray. How many of you guys ever like have this like you're, oh my gosh, I really have to pray right now. And so what do? You call your best friend. And if you're like me, you have like six best friends. So I go bam, 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 bam. Then after I'm done talking to all of them, then I'm like, oh, darn it. I should have called my husband. Ooh. Anybody ever forget him? I'm like, oh yeah, honey, by the way. And he's like, all right. Like he doesn't even get it. And then I might, you know, pass by the dog and be like, oh my goodness. So this is what I'm thinking the Lord is doing. What do you think? And then it hits me. Am I the only one? But what if we just stopped, dropped, and prayed? Woo, there's a thought. I don't know, maybe that was just for me. Okay, I have a question for you. Would you all agree when we talk about the will of God? First of all, do you want it? Do you want to be in it? Absolutely. When we talk about the will of God, I'm like, yeah, I'm all over it. I totally want to be in it. I want to be a part of it. I want wherever he is, I want to be, yes? But then we ask ourselves these silly questions like, yes, I totally want God's will. I just don't know what it is, but I want it, right? Anybody ever have kids? So I have these conversations with my children. They're like totally, totally like they're outside of the umbrella now. They're grown human beings. I've done my part. And they're like flying-ish. And I'm like, they'll have these great questions about, you know, I want God's will. I really, really do. And I'm like, okay, awesome. And then they go, but what if I don't like it? Like, I don't know. Because our heart, God looks at the heart. He looks at our heart. And our heart is, I want to be in your will. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Wherever you're going, I'm coming. I want to follow you. But at the same time, I'm terrified of where that land is going to be and what you're going to do to prepare me to get to the point to experience the fullness of God's will. Yes? Because there's a road. Say road. And it's less traveled. But when we remind ourselves that we have been equipped for every good work by the creator of the universe with the full armor of God, not us going forward, but the Lord going before us, we will be equipped to do the work that he has called us to do. My verse for this weekend, by the way, thank you, Joni. I'm a rookie, and I get Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sounds so clear. Here's what I realized. When I started doing my research a couple months ago, getting ready for the tea, and I think, Robert, twice a week, really? I'm exhausted. I need a massage. But I'm like, when I started looking at this, what came out, what just bolted off the page was God's will. And who am I to be presumptuous to even know what that would be? However, this is God's will. And from cover to cover, the character, the plan for our lives is right in front of us. And as I looked at where we all are as women in this room, we're coming from very different backgrounds. Some of us might have very simple questions about God's will, such as, who am I going to marry? Oh, by the way, I figured that one out. 32 years strong this December. He's very good looking. Doesn't hurt. Okay, sorry, got distracted. Woo, got warm. And then we ask questions like, well, how many kids am I supposed to have? And what job or skill am I equipped with? And where is the Lord taking me? Where am I going to live? All these questions that we ask, that don't you just want an answer? Like, I would like to say, Lord, where would you like me to live? What house? Okay, great, boom, and then it's just done, right? And how many of you are my single ladies in the room? Oh, sorry. Was that inner Beyonce? I don't know. I probably can't do that at church. Okay. But my single ladies, you're like, where's my husband? Right? Who is he? Where? How am I going to know? Right? And it's in the everyday things that the Lord starts to show himself. But we want clear. I just tell the Lord sometimes, okay, Lord, when we're like really talking, I'm like, how many have ADD? Me too. Okay, no one but me. Anyways, so people who have ADD, this is what they do. They go, Lord, billboard me. This is what I tell them. I'm like, billboard me. You know that soft, still voice? I'm like, I could miss that. Billboard me. So this is how I want the will to God to play out, right? Very black and white, very large text, so I get it the first time. And then we get past the surface. And we could ask our questions about the will of God, like, is this truly your will that I'm going through this right now? That I'm walking in this very desperate season? Is it your will, really, that my childhood was broken and I was abused? Is that your will? Is it your will, Lord, that I have an illness, that I don't know how the other side of this is going to turn out? Is it your will that my child has an illness? These are all questions that once we get past the surface, it is critical that we search the Word and we hit our face to find out God's will. What I realized as I was looking through the cursory answers to a lot of these questions was while there was answers in the Word, they weren't huge billboard answers to my very specific questions. So I'm gonna take you through some scriptures that I found that we're gonna decipher the will of God together, okay? Okay. Good. No, okay, time's up. So a lot of these are going to be familiar. If you're a church person, if you have been reading your Bible for a long time, these are familiar to you. But I'm going to ask today that you step back a second. Because the issue that the warning that I felt come over the Holy Spirit over me was we get very, very cautious when we cherry pick scripture. We have to be very cautious when we pull scripture from here and here to drive a point. By the way, the point I'm trying to make is God's will. Hello. Like, caution zone. But here's what I know. That his word is true, and his word is faithful, and his word directs us. It is the light to our life. So as we enter into the scripture, I'm asking with everything that you have this morning, how familiar it is, you could mouth it back to me. Or if you are a new believer, these may be the first time that you hear these words of refreshment and direction from the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test what is appropriate, what is proved by God's will, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. As we look at that scripture, the things that I circled, well, actually, I hearted them in green, were God's, talking about God's will. It is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect. And he tells us in this scripture in Romans 12, 2, he tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, say transformed, by the renewing, say renewing, By the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? How do we renew our mind? It's in the Word. It's in our prayer life. It's in our relationship with Jesus that we renew our mind. Jeremiah 29:11 was on my fridge for years and years when my kids were growing up. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I'm going to ask you this question for some of my sisters that are hurting, that are battling with this concept of a God that has only thoughts of peace in our life. How is this possible in the midst of devastation? How is his way, when we look at his ways, they will supersede our situation and our emotions. But that's a logical decision. And I promise you, as I have walked my life out, a truth that I believe is God can take my tragedy and turn it into a triumph. But you have to be willing. We're the clay in the molder's hands. Does that make sense? As we move on, the next scripture, 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. If you want to know God's will is that he desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. When I read something like that, I say all men. All creation would know and cry out that Jesus is God and he is our Lord. That is God's will. Less important on what street I bought my house on, although I don't think it's not important to him. But when we look at the heart and the character of God, he desires that all men would come to know him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. How many of you guys have heard this weekend? Woo, I love repeated themes. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. What's the will of God? In everything, give thanks. So how often is it that we give thanks? Always, in everything, we give thanks. How many of you guys have ever had like something and you're like, how can I be thankful in this? Like practical stuff, like drop something on your toe. You're like, oh yeah, thank you. Thank you. This is so awesome. But clearly, we are to give thanks in all things. And you know what? All it is an acknowledgement, right? We are living in a very physical world, but we are a part of a very eternal plan. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. Here we go again. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Sanctification is to be set aside. And as I looked through this, I thought, you know, life is a slow fade. Yes, there's a song about that. Life is a slow fade. This sort of commandment from the Lord shows such great love versus judgment. We can look at this and feel like there's judgment here, but it's out of a place of love from our God. It's a protective, loving commandment for the Lord that allows us anything that would keep us from experiencing, understanding, and hearing the will to God is a blockage. And sin is just that. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. He is always working in you. One of the things I say all the time is with God on the throne of your life, no pain is ever in vain. When he is the Lord of our life, no pain is ever in vain. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, command. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, command. And lean not on your own understanding, command. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, command, promise. And he shall direct your paths. Whenever we don't know what to do or what he's calling us to do, we can go right back to the ABCs of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. All my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. Okay, God's will. Love this. The Lord, this is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. He is long-suffering for you, and he is long-suffering for me. Can we just get a gratitude right there to the Lord? He is long-suffering. 1 Timothy 2:4 is really what it is all about. What is God's will? He desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Hebrews 10:36 finishes up my study in this section, which is, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is our great and precious promise? It's pretty amazing. And when I read this section of endurance, is there any runners out there? Marathoners? Right? I know, I don't agree with them either. I'm totally. But I heard one time from somebody that I once knew, second cousin from the left, that someone who ran said that it's a race of endurance. But I do know this, my walk with Jesus is an endurance. It is a marathon. It is a daily decision. I am plodding forward, putting one foot in front of the next every single day, yes? But here's what's so cool about a marathon. If I ever ran in one, which I'm not gonna say never, because I'm 50 and everything I ever said never to, I did. I'm not gonna say never, but most likely not. But if I were to run in a marathon, here's the thing, is a Christian walk, when we are running in a marathon, guess who our constant companion is? God Almighty, right? And he might be with other runners, like in races and marathons, but I know in the marathon of life, the walk that we walk as believers, it is a marathon, and we take God Almighty with us on that marathon. There's never a day that he hasn't gone before us. There's never a day that he doesn't surround us, and the word tells us that he is our great rear guard. Ladies, we are sanctified. We are bolstered to take the marathon called life and to search out and seek out and live out the perfect and pleasing will of God. Not on our own, fully encompassed with the Holy Spirit. Yes? Okay, awesome. Page 2. All right, just kidding. Not really. First and last time I'm talking. Okay. Sorry, I've dehydrated myself. I may have to sit in the throne. Just kidding. Okay, never mind. What? If you don't laugh, come on, right? Seriously, mostly at myself. So I started thinking, so after I read through all of that, and I've been studying for just a season of time here, just so you know, I was like, what is the will of God? The will of God is this. This is the will of God. Everything we need is here. This is the will of God. What is the will of God? A relationship with you. He created you for relationship. That is prayer. That's why we're here. We're here to discover a more effective, deeper, heart-wrenching prayer life with the Lord. If we're going to go through life, if we're going to go through trials and tribulations, let's get a return. Let's put ourselves positioned where God can come down and do a work in his life. I know that his will is never to leave us in a desert place. He is working it out, my friend. He is working it out. The trial, the desert place, it does three things, in my opinion. One, it changes you. The darkest time of my life, and I was thinking as Terry was sharing, the darkest time of my life, as you can imagine, were those days, weeks, months, years after our precious daughter passed away. Darkest days. So filled with the Spirit. Our little mini Calvary worship team would come to my hospital room at night. I was in the hospital for an extended stay. And they would play worship music in my room every night to put me to sleep. Our little tiny baby group. You could feel the presence of the Lord like no other time in my life. I was having a conversation with my friend this morning, and I've had so many people ask me, and those of you that go through tough stuff probably get this. They say, oh, I could never go through what you've gone through. And I said, yeah, I never could the minute before it happened either. Right? Supply and demand. Your time in the Word, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, minute of conversion to years of studying His Word, really cannot prepare you for some of life's biggest trials. However, God meets you where you're at. And He meets you in the moment that you need it. It's not stored up. Number one, going through the desert places of your life, it changes you. Number two, it changes others around you. And three, that act of it changing you and it changes others around you changes the kingdom and the amount of people that will be exposed to the Lord. Point two, oh Lord, have mercy. Point two, I'm gonna speed it up now. All right, my will versus others' will. Okay, so here's another thing. Have you guys ever really, really prayed for something? Really prayed for something? Like you really wanted it. And you may even have thrown out there your will, not mine, but yeah, I really want this to happen. And then there's the answer to every prayer, and sometimes it's no, right? And how many of you guys later went, I'm so glad he said no? Anyone? Okay, if you're older than 15, I prayed for this boy and I'm like, please, I was like begging. I wanted this relationship. And I just can imagine, sometimes I feel like the Lord's compassion going, no, Trace, that's not best for you. This time he was like, no. But so it was a no. It was a strong no. Strong no. And within 6 months, I met my husband, which was a very strong yes. So sometimes when I'm left to my own resources, I wrote the basis, if I'm going to work on my will versus completely submitting myself to the will of God. Okay, are you with me? If I'm bringing my will into this thing, my will is full of flesh. It's full of selfishness. It might even creep in into the pride. Sometimes that shows up. And I have zero foreknowledge. Did you know that? I really don't. I don't know anything in front of me. And so when I look at all that, when I pray on my own will, it's never going to bring back fruitfulness. And even the best of me, if I bring the best of me absent for the Lord, I can't bring out anything that will add to the kingdom absent of the Lord. My two favorite examples in the Bible of amazing men who got it wrong. Right? How many of you guys are so grateful that it's not, that there's zero perfect people except for Jesus in here, right? You're like, oh, and then how many of you ever judge them? You're like, you walked with him, really? Really? You had to look at the whole, really? Like you hung out. But I would probably have done the same thing. They were flawed, but they were forgiven. Paul, how many of you guys love Paul? He penned a lot of the New Testament. Romans 7:15 tells us about Paul. It says that Paul said, "For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do." Anyone? Diet? Personal struggle, maybe? I don't want to trivialize that point, but how many of you are like, grace is new every day, grace is new every day, this is my day, all right, 5 minutes in, oh no, why do I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do? My heart is right, right? And this is what I want to have in the assurance of you, that the evidence that your heart is praying that prayer says that God has you in the palm of his hand. And even though you're going to mess up, he still looks at you as his workman. Isn't that refreshing? And then Peter, how many of you guys just love Peter? You're like, Peter, that's my dude, Peter. I love Peter. Like, I love Peter. Now, I could really identify with him until I turned 50. I think I've told you that already. Like, if you're not 50, just wait. And I'm just barely 50, just so you know. I'm still actually 50. But, like, all of a sudden something happens at 50, and I realize I'm not like Peter at all. I'm leaning towards Paul these days. Because when you're younger, Betty Jo, I heard this about you. I don't know. But when you're younger, you, like, know, right? Like, here's Peter with Jesus. And by the way, Peter had a special relationship with Jesus, right? He was in his inner circle. Peter goes to Jesus and says, "Even if I must die with you, I would never deny you." Oh, I get Peter, right? You're in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Even if I have to die, I will not deny you. And yet he did. Not once, not twice, 3 times he denied. And yet, these two men are incredible examples of mighty men who had restorative relationships with God Almighty, because their heart was, hear me, their heart was to do his will. And their flesh got in the way. This side of heaven, that's gonna happen. But his mercy and his grace is new every day. My will, and I'm just gonna share with you guys maybe I'm not gonna share my will. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to nutshell it. I cried out one day. I was sent home after being in the hospital for about a month after my daughter passed, and I was in my home, and I was alone in my room, and I bargained with the Lord. Anybody ever just bargain? And I said, "Listen, here's the deal." Like, I was just say broken. I mean, I physically, emotionally, spiritually, I was broken. And I said, "Lord, please turn back time, bring my daughter back. I will do anything if you just bring her back. If you would have just told me to not go that way, if I would have gone another way, that accident never would have happened. And my life would look so different. If you just take it back. Then I promise I will live every day of my life for you. I will cry your name out from the rooftop. I will talk about what a great God you are. I know that you could use this opportunity to bring many people into the kingdom." And when I woke up that morning and I opened my eyes and I was still in a retracted state, I realized he chose not to do that. Could God do it? Absolutely. And he chose not to. And that is the day that the verse, my life verse, became Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And I told him that morning, I don't know how, but I know you can use this. And my prayer is that I will faithfully share from every rooftop in every opportunity what a good God we serve, who is faithful and who is just and who will bring about a return for the pain. My last example isn't of Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example of relinquishing his will for the Father's will. In Mark 14:35, hear these words and realize this is your Savior. This is my Savior that walked this. Going a little further, he fell onto the ground and he prayed that if it was possible, that the hour might pass from him. Listen to these words. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. How? We know he sweated blood. We know he fell before his face. We know he cried out. He didn't cry out any name of God the Father. He cried out, Daddy, if it would be your will, take this cup from me. However, your will, but not my will, be done. Woo, ladies. If that's not perspective, he took your sin, my sin, with knowledge on the cross. It was all nailed to him. He took it all on in total relinquishment of his own personal will to the will of the Father. Personal practicality, how do we apply this in our life? We have to have heart-filled, faith-filled words. How many of you guys have ever heard somebody say, well, if it's God's will, right? I mean, it sounds good. Well, if it's God's will. Is anyone? No? Yeah? No? No? Oh, my friend. So my friends say sometimes, well, you know, I'll go if it's God's will. That's much more of a cop-out, in my opinion. Now, the words that Jesus spoke were a relinquishment of personal will. So if you're writing anything down, we need to get to the point that we relinquish personal will. Relinquish our personal will so that we can then submit to the will of the Father. When you say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. There is no greater prayer or word you can ever speak back to the Father than that. Nevertheless, in this illness, nevertheless, in this loss, nevertheless, in my singleness, nevertheless, in my loneliness, nevertheless, in the loss of my child, nevertheless. Not my will, but your will, because it is perfect and it is pleasing. And when we look at our life, I think sometimes, how many of you guys ever Zoom? Don't you? I couldn't have done that like years ago. Nobody ever Zooms? Zoom? Okay. I have touch screen, like my computer's touch screen, so I Zoom. And one time I was sitting and I had my assistant sitting across the table from me and I Zoomed my piece of paper and she said, oh, no, you didn't. I'm like, I kind of did. And like the week later I bought readers, but it's true. I'm 50. All right. Guys, we look at our life to pull it all together. We look at our life very zoomed. We have zoomed in on everything. We're looking at right now, this situation zoomed in. We're so in it. We're so zoomed in that we have to realize that what we're looking at is our perspective. And our perspective is not often the reality. The reality of our life when unzoomed from a God's perspective, it's a beautiful masterpiece. I think of the quilt analogy. We're looking underside the quilt mismatched patterns, strings hanging. It's messiness. But God steps back in his throne room and he looks at us full on from the beginning to the end and the process. We've got to get off of Zoom. Last thing I will say is several years ago, I added this to my prayers, and I answer any or pretty much every prayer. I say, Lord, I want your perfect and pleasing will. I want that perfect and pleasing will, not your permissive, because I can beg. And I want his perfect and pleasing will, yes. No matter where the Lord has you today, in a valley experience, walking through the desert, I want to encourage you, sister. I want to encourage you. He has not forsaken you. And he has not forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are. He has positioned you to receive what can only come from those who know him personally, a peace that passes understanding, and an understanding to know that his ways are so far beyond my ways. I can't begin as a human. I was thinking this morning, a human brain, I'm going to try to articulate this to you, knowing I can't, because his ways are not our ways. But I know this. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding. And God's will for you, my friend, is he is working it out. He is working it out. He has not forgotten you. And to end, I want God's will, and I want to be in God's will.